Okay, hi everyone. Sir, could you please kick the door closed there? Or thanks. Okay. Shh. Be still and know that I am God. Our workshop here is for we agnostics, we atheists and agnostics, a marathon. My name is Judy. I'm a compulsive overeater. And I am going to lead and speak and get things started, but I'm really much more interested in hearing from you. I want this to be more or less a workshop and a sharing. Before I forget, they do ask when you come up, this is all being recorded, we need you to sign. And also they want you to hold the microphone here rather than out this way. They're having trouble picking up, okay? So just so you'll know that. Welcome to the Atheists and Agnostics in OA special focus meeting. My name is Judy. I'm a compulsive overeater and your speaker for this meeting. Hi. Please join me in the Serenity Prayer. Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. So already we're in the heart of it. Okay, before we get started, we ask that all cell phones or other electronic devices be turned off. To protect anonymity, no photography, audio, or visual recording is allowed except as recorded by the committee. Please be aware that if you are speaking or sharing and say your first name, your voice will be audible on the recording. So you don't have to say your name when you get up here. The opinions expressed here today are those of individual OA members and do not represent Region 2 or Overeaters Anonymous as a whole. Would someone please read the 12 steps? Thank you. All right, Carol.
I said your name in the mic. You did? What did you say? Hello. My name is Arlene. I'm a compulsive overeater, and these are the steps. This is mine.
Oh, I'm supposed to have it here?
Where is it? Is it here? One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying for only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Okay. Thank you. Here. Sign. Okay. The format for this 55-minute session is as follows: a short reading, then I will share for 10 to 15 minutes, followed by open sharing. And I was to ask someone to be a timer. Are you going to be it? Because you were before, so I thought you're the... All right. Thank you. So then I share for 10 to 15 minutes, so maybe you could tell me after 10. Thanks. Again, the topic for this special focus session is what... is Atheists and Agnostics in OA. The following is a reading from Voices of Recovery, November 10th, page 315. We now needed a more reliable way of relating to a higher power. At this point, we learned we could act as if. The 12 Steps and 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Okay. Well, coming to OA as an agnostic, I found that acting as if opened the door for me because my sense of separation from God and others was so persistent. I couldn't use the group as my higher power. I was told that experience is the best way to develop a relationship with a higher power. My sponsor told me to pray for help whenever I wanted to eat over something, whenever I struggled to sit with feelings or tried to work the steps. I set out to follow my sponsor's instructions with defiance, deciding to act as if just to prove it didn't work. To my amazement, it did. Over time, I realized that it is not my place to fully define and understand this power greater than myself. I only need to do my part to keep an open mind spiritually, to earnestly pray for guidance when I need it, and to pray with gratitude for what I have received. So that's my first time to see this. So I will now share my experience, strength, and hope on the topic. Like I said, I don't see myself as an expert about this at all. I love the phrase that's been said to me a lot, try to stay in the question about everything. And so I am with this topic in the question. I'm not here with any answer about it. But I think it's important to keep the question on the table and to keep chewing on it, to use a good OA phrase. So I came to the program 40 years ago, and I knew everything. I was very smart and tough and argumentative. My tombstone was going to read, "Nobody got the best of her," you know? I wanted to look good, and I wanted to be right. And unfortunately, I had an extra 85 pounds on my body. And so they told me that changing some of those attitudes might help get some of that weight off. And that developed a little bit of willingness for me. Like I said, I did not believe in any kind of a God, and I still don't, really. But I've managed to find some kind of way to approach a spiritual dimension in my own self and with others that's working for now. My fourth day of abstinence, I came to OA 4 days before Thanksgiving, the high holy day of the year. And somehow I became willing to listen to this lady. I called her and she said, "Do this, do that." And I woke up Thanksgiving morning crying and shaking in the midst of withdrawals. And she said, and my husband had just come off a drunk and he was busy building me bookshelves because I always got good work out of him when he was guilty. And that was our trade-off. The other trade-off was, "Judy, you don't say anything about my drinking. I won't say anything about your eating." And so we got to mirror each other in those behaviors. I called the lady. I said, "I can't do it." And she said, "Why don't you go write?" So I went in a little room. I was very dramatic. I took a folder and I said to him, "I'm going to write." And I went off and I wrote, and as I was writing, I got this sense of peace. And I had an image of myself when I was 5 years old. I was an army brat. We lived in Frankfurt, Germany. I was walking down a street that was still full of bombed out buildings, and I was looking at the sidewalk, and I had just come from my girlfriend Claudia's house, and we were doing tea party, and you can see at five, I'm already a neglected child, that I'm walking the streets of a major German city by myself. Hello. I didn't think there's anything wrong with that. When you grow up with that kind of stuff, you think, well, this is life. I mean, why are these social workers making such a big deal? Really, you know? They make a lot of troubles. And anyway, that sense came over me, and I looked at the cracked sidewalk, remembering, and the voice said, "Don't worry about anything, just stay on the path. Just watch the path, walk the path." And I'm five, I don't have any homework, I don't have to fix dinner, I have nothing to do but walk the path. That sort of gave me a sense of peace. And I went to my Aunt Myra's and did not overeat and started on this journey. Now, I'd love to tell you that every day since then for the last 40 years has been that peaceful, but it ain't so. Everything changes over and over and over again. But that I called my first spiritual experience, and I named my higher power Claudia. And that worked for me quite a bit for many years of just thinking I'm trying to contact that peace within. And the next spiritual experience I had was about a year later, probably a year and a half later, I was asked to develop the nation's first eating disorder unit. I was a therapist. I forgot to tell you that. So I came here full of a lot of wisdom about addiction. Didn't help me very much, but I helped a lot of people. And so for various reasons, I was to give the lecture to the medical committee to convince them to have this unit. And I didn't have the advanced degrees then. I had some, but I didn't have the stuff that would give me the prestige to be listened to. And I was petrified, and no one else was doing this sort of thing. So I grabbed a lot of information I had from a lot of different sources. And I made slides. We didn't have PowerPoint at that time, 1975. I made slides, and I had a pointer, and I had one of those big flip charts. And so I had it worked out on my notes. It would say, flip the chart. And then I would flip the chart, and I'd know. I was like, every night I was up at 2 a.m., a nervous wreck, thinking, how am I going to do this and make them buy this program? I mean, look at what's at stake, you know. And I also had some jokes. I put in my New York razzmatazz. I had it all orchestrated. So a half hour before this luncheon lecture, 11:30 in the morning, I look at my notes, and it's all gibberish. I can't figure out, flip the chart? What? I could not figure out what any of it meant. And I was petrified. So I said, so what did I do? I did not pray. No, I did not eat either. I called my sponsor. Close. I called my sponsor. I said, I'm not doing this. I have to cancel. She said, it's not about you. She said, you know, ask to, you know, 11th step prayer, ask to be a channel, ask that it be channeled through you, and, you know, you've done your footwork, just get up there and let it happen. And I said, are you kidding me? I said, that crap is fine for those meetings, but this is medicine! And so she said the classic thing that any OA sponsor says that stops you right in your tracks. She said, well, that's what I would do. Uh-huh. She didn't argue. She didn't blah, blah. So I said, okay. And I went into somebody's little cubby, and I got down on my knees. No, I didn't get on my knees. Chair. And I prayed, blah, 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 blah. And I got up, and that was the kind of lecture I assumed I gave, which was blah, 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 blah. I'm watching myself, and I'm watching her. She's doing this thing, and it's very boring. None of the jokes were in there, and it was just like, and I'm thinking, kick it in, you know, you're failing here. And she just kept giving only the facts, ma'am, only the facts, like Jack Webb. And then I sat down, and I went to a meeting that night, and I screamed how you people had turned me into this California surfer, this kind of dull pothead person. And I was very demoralized, but as it turns out, the next day, the doctors went for it, and we were launched. Well, I was not happy. Right? Because there's such cognitive dissonance between how I see the world and the feedback I'm getting back from it. It was very upsetting to me. And I worked through it with my sponsor, and she said that because I prayed to be a channel, that my body picked up what those doctors needed, that those guys wanted only the facts, ma'am, only the facts. And if what my head thought was a good presentation had gotten up there, they would have said, no way, she's too emotional. In those days, you know, women were too emotional. And she's just too fanatic and blah, blah, blah. We can't take her seriously. But because this serious person got up and talked like that, now, that was my second spiritual awakening for me. That was a moment where I realized that there's more going on than what my little head believes. That there's some other kind of energy operative. And that if I keep my body clear of mind-altering substances, and I try to keep myself spiritually fit, then I can channel those kind of messages. I can be sensitized to it. I can hear it, feel it, smell it. But when I'm lard-laden and sugar-coated and full of my own ideas, the wall is up and I'm safe, I think, but nothing happens. Boring life, really boring life. So I will tell you, I wanted to make sure I make an announcement. On Tuesday nights in Palm Springs, we have a meeting. I'm the speaker seeker, so if anybody wants to come out to Palm Springs and speak at my meeting, I'm announcing it now. Please call me. My number is 760-322-0388, and I'll give you a place to stay. This is how desperate I am to get speakers, so please. Not that having you would be desperate. That's not what I mean. So anyway, in November here in Santa Monica was held the first ever meeting of WAFTIA. And WAFTIA is an organization that's been happening throughout the country and the world, actually. People came from Ireland and Australia and et cetera. They're springing up everywhere, and this group is We Agnostics and Free Thinkers in AA. So I attended their convention because it interests me, because I never could grasp a God. And that, you know, so I heard a lot of things at this thing, and some of them, the people there, were upset, and they have a website, agnostica.com, if you're interested. But, and I'm not a member. Okay, I'm not preaching it, but they didn't like the idea that people would say, you better get a God, motherfucker, you're gonna get drunk. Or that people would say, well, make the doorknob your God, you know, and they'd say, what kind of people am I hanging out with? So they have a lot of concerns about that sort of stuff. And my position for me personally is I really just don't care. You know, I don't argue it. I don't care if there is or isn't a God. My behavior still has to be the same. If God wants to check in, cool. You know, there's I like to think of it as a cooperative relationship. That like on the pledge break on PBS, you know, when they say, well, we've got a donor that if you put up $5, they'll match it. Right? So this power out there is a matching donor, but it's not my butler. This thing is not up there to clean up my messes and to get me out of jams or to find me parking spaces. It's a matching donor with what I'm willing to invest. This is an action program, and I have been returned thousandfold of the kind of effort I've put out. There are people who would say, oh, you put so much effort. And they do from time to time, and I'm grateful that they acknowledge my effort. But I still think I have been rewarded much more than my effort. I got a healthy body. I have a fabulous life and a lot of fun. There's an AA story about a guy's driving his car past this gorgeous field, and then as he drives a little, he sees the farmer. The farmer is standing there admiring his crop. So he stops and he says, my God, what abundance. He says, I just love what you've done and what you're growing here and how this is. And the farmer says, yeah, I work my ass off for this. He says, well, God has really blessed you and rained down upon you and such a fertile soil. Don't you realize that it's the heavens who delivered this for you? And he says, yeah, it was all rocks and trees, and I cleared away everything. And I had my family up in the middle of the night planting, and we have worked to create this field. And the guy says, how can you talk like that? This is a blessing from God. Why aren't you grateful? He says, well, he says, I'm grateful, but you should see how it was when God had it himself. You know? So it's, you know, God needs us, and we need God, I think. And, you know, most of the time I get my God messages through you. So there are people in the program who say God is other people or God's your meeting or your group. All that works. I just, you know, for me it's just a semantic thing. It's like when they, you know, like the speaker last night was saying, how come we debate what's a binge? Who cares? I kind of don't want to debate who is God or what the word means. It seems semantic to me. In any event, I have to stay in a surrendered mode, surrendering meaning that I have to ask for direction and I have to do my part as directed and then let go the results. That's the big part, because I'm always trying to manipulate that around a little. It gets better and better. The program has helped me weather a lot of losses, men, houses, money, jobs. That very treatment center I created was, I became a fanatic. I was like a crazed workaholic, traveling all over the country, yada, yada. And it was eventually taken away from me. It was stolen from me by a colleague. And I was devastated. I thought, you know, how you can't breathe. And I had to learn that because I was so attached to it is why it had to go. That I need to hold all of life with a loose hand. So this program prepares you for weight loss, but there are other losses, and life is about loss as well as gaining the things you really didn't expect were in your path. So I hope this doesn't sound down, because I don't feel down at all about it. I'm very excited, and I do feel, you know, I don't want to have to evaluate my spirituality compared to others. And I don't really think the program makes us do that at all. But sometimes, at least what this group was saying, is sometimes some people do try to tell us. And that's why I think the issue needs to stay on the table, and we need to have discussion about it. So with that, I'd love to have you come up and have a discussion. Come on up. Thank you.
That was awesome, by the way. That was really awesome. Oh, we're, no crosstalk. Sorry. I'm Helena. I'm a compulsive eater. I was really glad that this session was in the program on the door, because it's something that's been kind of bothering me. I've only got like 3 months in meetings and a little under 90 days of, you know, not eating with reckless abandon. unfortunately, I have this thing where if I get nervous or just whenever, I tend to separate myself. I tend to other myself. I'm like, oh, they do this, but I do that. And instead of focusing on the things we have in common. And my spiritual beliefs are a little more esoteric and a little more abstract than what I come across in meetings. And so I would get in my head and, oh, you know, I don't know if this is the place for me. It's just, I feel different again. I feel different. I feel different. I feel different. And then someone would say something to just pull me back in and be like, oh, that, you know, she's talking about herself, but she's talking about me. But the spiritual thing, it seems like, a lot of people have, the idea that, you can have your, you know, the higher power of your understanding, as long as it's the same higher power as Bill W.'s understanding. And I have a friend who I adore in program. But the way that she was trying to explain it to me was that, you know, it was like Mr. Potato Head or Build-A-Bear. It's like, pick a gender for your God and pick an age for your God and pick some attributes for your God. And it's like, it still has to be this, like, you know, deity up in the sky, but, you know, you can put its nose on and you can put its eyes on and its little hat and its shoes. And that's just not how I operate. And, you know, I didn't want to say that to her. I tried a little bit, but sometimes it's not an argument worth having, because her sentiment was sincere, and I get a lot out of the faith that she has and her understanding of her higher power. But for me, my higher power is mindfulness and empathy, and, you know, I guess you could call it the collective unconscious, but for me, the fact that I can connect to and draw strength from the world around me and hopefully give something back, or at least try every day by appealing to the world and seeing what needs to be done, and the fact that I can, you know, experience insight and things like that, that's kind of where I draw my spiritual, the spiritual thrust of this program from. And I'm sure it could change over time, just like my abstinence changes, you know, the plan and that I use day to day. But, it's a great comfort to see you guys in here, because really, like, sometimes when I'm in a meeting where everyone has that, you know, concrete Mr. Potato Head deity, it feels very lonely. And this program is about fellowship, and it's nice to have the fellowship with diverse spirituality as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Can you sign this, please?
Go.
My name is Louise. I'm a compulsive overeater. Hi. I was really happy to see this meeting too, because I thought, oh, there's something for me. Bringing up my parents, I was thinking, well, why even talk about your parents? I'm in my 60s, you know, but they really affected me with this, and I'm not making that good or bad. They were dyed-in-the-wool atheists, communists, and It's just part of my bones. I mean, I never had experience with religion, God, the Bible, anything. My father was Jewish culturally. My mother was WASP, but they were both very atheists, and I just can't help being the same way somehow. And I have a lot of judgment, actually. And I'm in the debating society, and I know it's like, oh, I guess I have to rehab myself and become somebody who believes in God to be in this program. And I know, you know, that's not what it says. We get to choose our own God. But I just can't seem to do it. And I've tried to think, okay, the ocean, or I don't breathe me. You know, something is breathing me. Something is causing me to move my arm like that. And it really wasn't me. It's just, you know, how did I know I was going to move like that? I know that I'm being done by the universe, but I'm very judgmental. And I just want to say this, like when somebody says something like, oh, all these great things happened to me and it wasn't me, I know it was God. And then they say in the same breath, oh, all these bad things happen and I made them happen. I mean, I'm just so argumentative in my mind when people start talking about their God finding in the parking place, that kind of thing. And I just wanted to say that. I just feel very judgmental about that. And so, you know, and I know that the book says, hey, quit the debating society for yourself. If you want peace, don't debate. Just be open, you know. And I also have a theory that since we're raised by another being, like a mother, say, and we're bonding with our mother, we have this need to have someone we can see as our guiding light. You know, I think that's why we want the God that we can see, you know, a picture of someone to pray to, who looks like a certain way. And it's very hard if you don't have that to find that. But, you know, I have had a spiritual experience, not in this program, but way before. And it felt like this huge bliss and happiness, and I felt it deep, deep within me. And my phrase for a long time was, heaven is on the inside, and I suppose hell is too, really. So I think it's inside. Hell and heaven are within us. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Steve, compulsive eater. Is this on? I can't tell. I like to compose my thoughts because they're really not composed. So I came in this program 1992 and left because I heard that three-letter word. Came back in 98 and left because I heard the three-letter word. And finally came back several years ago when they put a stent in my heart. And my friend came back, and he and I had sort of the same spiritual bent. And I've worked the steps here multiple times and have really felt like I've gotten nowhere until, ironically, in the last couple months. And I work very thoroughly with a sponsor. And this is what I got out of it. First thing is, in a lot of meetings, there's some confusion about what agnostics and atheists are. Where I came from, an atheist is somebody who basically believes there's no God or not agnostic, is not sure. But in the big book, they're lumped as people with doubts and prejudice. Okay. And so I was really clear that I'm mostly agnostic, but there was this mean streak. You couldn't convince me there was a God. You can't convince me. You still can't convince me there's a God. So this time around, I had to write down what my definition of God was. Now, God was this being that killed my dad, ruined my family, had the Holocaust, makes all kinds of horrible things in the world, and basically at the end of, if you're lucky, 100 years, you're going to turn to ash or dust or something. That's my God. Wonderful God to have. But that's the one I've had inside. Now, I remember also as a kid, they talk about parents can influence you, not even know it. My mom, after my dad died sometime later, I don't know if it was a month or a year, she had actually once said, in just horrible pain, there is no God. Now, being like a little 12 or 13-year-old kid, that became my gospel. I guess gospel means good news, but so we'll have to come up with a different phrase. That became my news. And I was actually with a reform group in Israel once. And at the end of that time, two of the guys became very ultra-religious, and I confirmed my agnosticism. So it was really weird for me, you know. I used to joke I was a born-again agnostic. So recently, what have I done? So I wrote down my definition of God, which is what I just told you guys. Then I wrote down what I thought of your God, which is another one of my prejudices. I think you guys are fools for the gods you have, especially the dogmatic ones. And I wrote that down. Both of those definitions didn't help me. You know, and the hardest problem I have with reading We Agnostics, there's a whole bunch of arguments that anybody who's good with logic will just shoot holes in. But there's one argument you can't shoot holes in. 100 people recovered by doing these steps, period. 100 people recovered by finding a relationship with something. And a couple things about, ironically, I was writing this today, a couple things about me in relation to the universe. See, I used to think I don't know how the universe runs, but there's a part of me that think it does. There's 10 to the 80 hydrogen atoms in the universe. That's approximately 10 to the 51 times bigger than me and roughly the same amount of mass. So imagine 10 with 51 zeros. That's how much bigger and more powerful the universe is me, and I think I know something. I've come to realize it's really simple. I don't need a definition of God. All I need to know is, from what I've seen in you people, is that if I give up trying to control my life and I turn inward, that somehow something is available to me that if I honestly turn inward, it'll take care of me and it'll guide me. And anytime I fight it, I'm fighting that little thing in there that actually knows what's supposed to happen. And I'm getting moments of that, and I'm really grateful for that. And that's what I got to say. Thanks.
Thank you so much. That was really good. My name is Arlene. I'm a compulsive overeater. And, you know, whatever I think, it's just what I think. It's between the ears, you know. My head, I either go with the disease or I go with the solution. And the big book does say on page 55, it does say that the great reality is deep down within us, capitalized great reality. He uses a million different ways. I forget how many exactly because I'm not a big book thumper. But Bill uses many ways to describe a higher power. And it is a mystery. I have to accept that it's a mystery. You know, sometimes it's this, sometimes it's that. I appreciate what people shared, because it does have to be something that works for me, that feels good. You know, to have, like, I guess I grew up with a punishing. If there was any God at all, it was sort of punishing, you know, like, you know, stupid things that I could not relate to at all, you know. So I just try to choose what can I relate to and what feels good and what's loving. And I've also gone so many different ways. I've written the want ad. I've, you know, and it is, what do I want? What feels good to me? What's loving? What's kind? And I do know that I am not the ultimate power or the ultimate authority. And that's all that I really need to know, you know. And if I just try to go where the love is. And that's it. It does say the great reality is deep down within us. So that's important to me.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Christina. I'm a compulsive overeater. And thank you very much for your share. I really got a lot out of it. And I think my favorite line in the big book in regards to spirituality is that the realm of the spirit is broad, roomy, and all-inclusive. And I hear that. I heard that in your share, and I've heard that in the things that other people have said so far in this session. And I really appreciate that this is a place that I can come and I can talk about spirituality in a way that it doesn't have to fix to a certain idea. I've been through a spiritual journey in this program. I came in very much closed against the idea of anything spiritual, because that was kind of the attitude in my family growing up, and then willingness made me be open to that. And then for a long time I had an idea of a personal higher power that could control and affect the outcome of things, and then that shifted. And I consider myself agnostic and have for a number of years, and I've been abstinent for 20 years, and sometimes I hear people in meetings who have an idea that doesn't fit with mine, so it's really wonderful to come here and hear people talk about it in a way that is similar to what I understand for myself. And I recognize that it can change again, that what I feel and believe today is not the ultimate reality in any sense. It's just what I understand today, and my understanding will change. It's changed about a lot of things in my time in the program, including a power greater than myself. So I'm so grateful that the steps give me a way to work through that in a way that works for me. When it talks about in step two that we came to believe a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity, that is so broad. A power greater than myself can be so many things, and it's been different things for me at different times. But I you know, I'm an agnostic. What did I hear somebody say? They said they were a pratheist. And I thought, that's so cool. I'm not really an atheist. I'm more of an agnostic, so the pun doesn't really work quite that well. But I love that, because I pray and I meditate, and I don't believe in a deity that is controlling or looking over everything. But I know that there's something out there, because I've been able to abstain, and I know that the steps are a power greater than myself, and working the steps has caused huge shifts inside of me and in my life. And so there's all kinds of different powers that are much more powerful than me, that when I'm open, I can hear them and I can connect to them. And definitely when I'm in a meeting like this, I sense powers greater than me. Like, all of us together here collectively, we're much more powerful than I am on my own. So I am really grateful to be here. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Alicia from Virginia. I came into the program 29 years ago, and I came from a Jewish family, except there was really no spirituality and there was no religion. I just knew that I believed in God. I believed in one God, and I never questioned it. And then I hit college, and I started questioning everything. And I remember taking my first class called Education of Self, and it made me take a look at everything before I even got into OA. And I remember thinking how angry I was, how resentful I was, because I felt like I really was self-reliant, that I was really on my own. You know, my family was like every man for himself. And so when I got out in the world, it was like I felt very alone, very frightened, and very, very angry and resentful. And I came into OA, and what it allowed me, because I didn't have a good God or a bad God, I really just had sort of an invisible God. And what it allowed me was the freedom to just get what I need, you know, through your shares, through your hugs, through your stories. You know, I have God stories. I mean, here's a person who doesn't even know God, and I've got God stories. So this really has been a gift to allow me to be open, allow me to have whatever it is that I need. And I can't define it. And I think it is a mystery, and I'm okay with it being a mystery. A long time I wasn't okay with it being a mystery. I wanted to define it. I would talk to rabbis and nuns in the program and anybody I could find who would listen to my questions. You know, what is this? Where is it? Where are my signs? Where are my, my flags? And, it just has been the gift of just, it's there, it's in me, it's here, it's in your eyes, it's in the room. I feel it. I can't define it, but I can feel it. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Roberta, a grateful recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you so much, Judy, for opening up the question, because it is a question. I came into this program totally agnostic, you know, and I had been seeking a higher power for many years, looked here, there, and everywhere, and finally, I just felt like I had tried everything. My son became religious and orthodox, so I tried to have his God, and I koshered my house, and I was going to do that, but that really didn't speak to my heart. I finally, in 2002, when I have my final surrender and realized I need a spiritual path, I worked with people who tried to get me to identify my own God. You know, she didn't care what my son thought or this or that. And I started to write on a piece of paper all the things that God meant to me. And I do connect with nature a lot. So I do see God in nature and in people and, you know, babies. And I knew that there was a spark of God in each of us. But this whole program eluded me for so many years, because even though I had, you know, a sponsor and worked on my physical recovery and worked the steps, I worked this beautiful design for living, I just did not have a personal God. And I used the rooms, and that just didn't work for me. Until I surrendered and knew that I needed a God, and I can't define it exactly, but I have an idea, and it's kind of a little bit of a religious God, but mostly it's a God of compassion and love, and the God that I found in these rooms, you know, the unconditional acceptance and the forgiveness. So I just have an idea that, you know, a lot of people say it's good orderly direction. It's just doing the next right thing, living from my highest self, being the best person I can be, and connecting throughout the day, knowing that I'm not the be-all and the end-all. You know, the meditation, the talking. You taught me how to pray to God. You know, we would go to a meeting, and my friend, you know, would just start talking to God, and I never knew how to do that. So the more conscious connection that I have with God throughout the day, just a little thought here and there, a little thank you here and there, you know, a help me here and there, that's my whole concept of God, and that has changed my recovery, and I'm so grateful for it. Thanks.
And one phrase that's helped me is that when they say prayer does not change God, it changes the prayer. So if I can walk in that prayerful receiving mode, that's my recovery. Go ahead. Yeah. Yes?
Thank you. Hi, my name is Alex. I'm a compulsive overeater. So I've been a free thinker for as long as I can remember.
I was already leaning that way before I went to college, and then I spent 4+ years in Berkeley. So by the time I left, I was even more free-thinking. I also was about 213 pounds, maybe more. And my Eskimo brought me in, and at that time I had a lot of doubts that I associated with my belief in science and an awareness that there's a lot of injustice and unfairness in the world. But I'm open and beginning to open more to other possibilities that may not contradict that necessarily. Like, without going, I don't want to endorse a particular scientist, but there are many scientists who actually have faith. And they would say probably that if you look at math or at science, there are recurring patterns in the natural world. Where do the patterns come from? Or on the note of unfairness, I'm open to the possibility that, well, somebody who has faith has to explain unfair suffering, but somebody who has no faith would have to explain everything else. So on balance, it would seem logical that perhaps faith answers more than it leaves unanswered. But in any case, my Eskimo explained to me when I came in to give up intellectualizing so much and to just go with the flow of the program. And she is free thinking herself and said that they took great care when the big book was designed that it would be accessible to people of all creeds and walks of life, so that you could be Hindu or Buddhist or whatever you want to be and still find the big book accessible. And the reason is that they said you can believe in the higher power as you define it. So I guess today, for today, by higher power is something like a general sense that I'm not the greatest thing in the universe, that there's something out there, whatever it is, that's more powerful and greater than me, and that has the, because I don't have the power on my own to stop overeating. And somehow when I come to these meetings and I act as if, the weight comes off. So I choose to continue just acting as if, and it doesn't necessarily have to contradict being a free thinker at all, because I've found a way to just define my higher power as it, in a way that makes sense to me. And I thank you for letting me share.
Hi, my name is Bill. I'm a compulsive overeater. By the way, to lose my voice. Oftentimes when I share at a meeting, I say, I'm an atheist. And I think that's important because I don't want anybody to leave our meetings and think, you know, it's a religious organization, because it damn sure ain't. I'm an atheist, but I'm also a ordained minister in 2 churches. Isn't that cool? Because I'm a bit competitive, too. You know, if they can have their church, I'm in the church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster, for sure. There is one. For $20, you could be a ordained minister also. You could marry people. You can do all kinds of stuff. Also, Universal Life Church is a little more fundamental sounding, but I'm it. And I'm also an atheist, and I think that's important. I was raised in a Christian home. By that, I mean we had Christmas and Easter. That was about it. But very religious, but not really. I finally gave up. I think this is nonsense. Who believes such stuff? And I blew it off. And when I came into program, a little over 30 years and 1 week ago, and they talked about the 12 steps, about that God word. That really spooked me. You know, like, gee, I forget that shit, you know. Let me get down to the abstinence. That's what's important to me. And it was, and it still is to this day. God is number one. But after about 6 months in the program, I'd lost my weight. I was the star. And I finally gave in because they had something I didn't, and that was that God. They could use the God word. And I did it. I did the third step, turned my will and my life over to the care of God as I understood him. And that's not anybody, I don't want to make, anyway, it's not any deity. It was just whatever I wanted to be. And over the years, I developed certain things. I married briefly an OA member who was a member of a church headquartered in Salt Lake City. Very, very religious woman. And one day I asked her, I said, do you really believe this stuff? And she with every bone in my body. And she did, and she probably still does. I don't know, she's gone. But I thought, how can you believe this stuff? It's nonsense. But anyway, that's what she believes. That was my feeling. I finally just recently came up with what God means to me. It's an acronym. It's an acronym. It means all the good things, all the wonderful things. They had major surgery. I'm getting four-way bypass surgery. And when I was going in there, if I lived or died, I didn't. I wanted to live, but if I died, so be it. That's life. That is life. You're going to die. Accept it. And then I'm going to be gone. I'm going to be here no more. Just like before I got here, I'm going to not be here no more. And when they rolled me out, then I woke up in a lot of pain. I said, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for getting me through this thing. And I sometimes equate it to a movie. And they say, well, you just do it because it makes you feel good. I am. Why do you go to the movies? Whiplash, by the way, is good. Anyway, you go to the movie. Just imagine if during the movie, love story, you get up and say, it's phony. It's making you feel good. They're acting. Get over it. You know, they say, shut up and sit down. We're enjoying this movie, you know. That's what it is for me. I pray five times a day, well, once in the evening, once in the morning, and at each meal. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Other than saying, thank you, God, for this thing. I just, my little acronym, God. Okay. Thanks for being here.
Hi, my name is Michael. I'm a compulsive overeater. Coming into program, I just felt like I had, when I heard that whole God-sized hole, I felt like, that's what I need, and I'm going to really get back to my roots. And that only worked for a few weeks, and then I was like, that does not work for me. And then I was on a whole no-God thing. And what I found was that I really didn't need God to go to a meeting. I didn't need God to work the steps. At least I don't think I did. And now when I see it, when I'm doing my step work or when I'm going to a meeting or something like that, I have that small amount of faith that if I go to this meeting at least one more time or if I do a little bit of this step work, that I've seen it work in other people, it can work for me. And that might be, I might find, maybe perhaps I'm open to the idea at least that at, you know, as I continue to work this, that at some point I will find that that was God all the time getting me to go to these meetings and things. I think it says in the big book something like you don't have to, it doesn't say that you have to find God, it says you have to seek God. So I can keep looking and looking and I don't have to drive myself crazy trying to find a concrete definition of what God is. That's been enough for me to stay abstinent and enough for me to keep coming back and to keep having the faith in the steps that I've seen work for other people to work for me. So thank you.
It is time now to close this session. I'd like to thank those of you who gave service and for all attending. After a moment of silence,